Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Berries are a sweet treat, and they're packed with nutrients that do a body good. This time of year is prime berry season. Strawberries ripen in June, blueberries in July, raspberries in August, and there are so many things you can do with berries, from popping them in your mouth and enjoying them fresh to making delicious pies or preserving them to make jams and jellies. We want to know what to pick and what to make. Well, this is the spot. We have two experts in the studio with us today who will be very helpful. I don't write the scripts, but Dale Isla Riggs runs the Berry Patch in Steventown, New York, highly regarded for its superb strawberry harvest. Dale Isla is also the president of the New York State Berry Growers Association. Diane Witten is a food and nutrition educator. She has written a farmer's market recipe column in the Saratoga newspaper for some 10 years now and has just published a cookbook, Farmer's Market Favorite Recipes. She teaches courses in canning and preserving. So if you have a question for our berry experts, feel free to jam up the lines. Oh, the number to call is 1-800-348-2551. Again, that's 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us, voxpop@wamc.org. Go to Facebook, WAMC Radio on Facebook. You'll see a Vox Pop post there where you can comment. You can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Radio. Just use the hashtag VoxPop. But the number, once again, is 1-800-348-2551. Dale Isla and Diane, nice to have you both back on the show.
Nice to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, it's great to be back.
Now, we did this program last June, right?
Last June.
And we had so many delicious strawberries. It's coming back to me now because I see, once again, just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 little bins of different strawberries. And I remember we tasted a whole bunch last time.
That's right. There's 7 different varieties here that we hopefully can get through all of them.
Oh, so exciting. Okay, so was it a good harvest this year? You're almost done now, right?
We have about a week left in Steventown. People right in the valley itself are probably winding up this weekend. So anyone that hasn't yet gotten out to get their fresh, locally grown berries, get a move on. You need to get to the farm stands and the pick-your-own fields. It has really been a good year.
Cool winter, right? Very cold winter.
Very cold winter, but we had lots of snow. And so snow cover is the most wonderful thing for strawberries. We actually could not take the straw off our strawberries till very late this year, not till about the middle of April, because we had 3 feet of snow on them until then.
I remember.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it looks like things came out pretty well.
Yeah. We've got good size. They've got good flavor. Lots of juice in them.
Yeah. I grabbed one, you know, I didn't ask, but I grabbed one early, and I guess I got a test variety.
Yes. One of the baskets I have here is actually a test variety from the breeder at the Cornell Ag Experiment Station in Geneva, and he has sent these possible varieties out to about 10 of us in New York State to get a sense of how well do they produce, do they do well on different soil types, what's the flavor like, do they have disease problems, and so we're evaluating them for him so that he can get information from commercial growers to decide if he actually wants to put a name on it.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say, this one has kind of a not a very interesting name, NY02-56, which is, it's not that catchy, to be honest
right,
with you.
Right, right, not too catchy.
But we have Valley Sunset and Jewel and Flavor Fest here, and these are not all the same varieties we tried last time.
No, there's a bunch of new ones. And I will say that L'Amour and Harriet are both varieties that were developed by the same breeder that is having us test this 0256.
And how do you like the 0256?
So far, I like it a lot. This is my first year actually checking it out. But as I was picking these this morning, I was munching on some. The strawberry stains on my shirts prove it. and I think it's got nice flavor. It's really, really productive. You know, I was opening up those plants and there's just these trusses laden with beautiful ripe fruit.
And I thought it was delicious as well. Are they reasonable as far as pest resistance? And we know the yield is good.
Yeah, the yield is good. And they have virtually no leaf diseases. Mm. So some of the varieties at this time of year start getting all sorts of spots on the leaves. And And you don't tend to get as good tasting a berry when you have a lot of spots on foliage. But these were nice and clean.
Yeah, they all look beautiful, and we will try them shortly. Diane Witten, we're going to try something new on the program today.
Yes, we are. We're being adventurous. We're going to make some jam right here on the program.
On the radio. And I should mention to everybody who's listening, if you're near a computer, you can actually watch this at WAMC.org. There's a link for live video. You see, ladies, there are a couple of cameras up here. So no rude gestures at the host, as I usually get on the program. And if you want to watch, you can also watch it from your device. Your iPhone or whatever, and watch the jam being made. We'll do that in a little bit. We'll taste what? You coming in? Oh, there's our producer, Jessica Blaustein Marshall. Sit down, relax. We're doing a show. Can you turn her microphone on?
I heard you mention food, so I had to come.
All right, you know what? We'll taste some now. Everybody who's on the line, Jason and Nancy and Peter and Tara, please bear with us. When the producer walks in, it means we have to eat. So we will get to your calls at 1-800-348-2551. All right, you're here. Let's try some strawberries. All right, Dale Isla, what should we try first?
Well, I suggest trying the Valley Sunset because that is the latest variety that most farms in the area will be growing. So that's something that people can get in their fields right now, in the pick-your-own fields and at the farm stands right now. This was the first harvest of them today that I did for the season. So the berries are still nice and big versus later in the season when they'll be smaller. And I thought it tasted really good as I was eating it.
What do you think, Diane?
Wonderful flavor. And what I love about the local strawberries is that they have this beautiful sheen on them that you don't see from strawberries you get at the store.
They're almost like jewels. Oh. They're little jewels. Yeah.
And no, that's a different one. That's over here.
Oh, there is an actual one that
and
is
they're
called jewels.
So juicy, too.
Oh, boy. And they're sweet. These are good. Valley Sunset. All right. Thumbs up. What do you think, Jess?
Delicious.
All right. Okay, so that's one. Now, do we need a palate cleanser? Should I have a martini or something between these?
I have some crackers. Unsalted crackers.
Well, are we saving those for anything?
That's for the jam.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, we need that. Absolutely. All right, well, why don't we take a call, and then we'll try NY02-56 if you're scoring at home. Let's go over to Jason in Chatham. Jason.
Hi, Ray. Hello. I'll make this quick and then just listen to the answer on the radio. I walk to school every day, and on the way in, I've been eating mulberries off a local bush. I hope the owner doesn't mind.
Yeah.
Off a local tree. And then I started thinking, how come I've never seen, like, mulberry jam or mulberry pie or anything mulberry sold at farm stands? Is it simply because they grow on trees or what?
I would say so. You could probably get a mulberry recipe.
I got to break just for a moment here, Jason and everybody. Now, we're going to be interrupting this program at some point soon so that we can take you live to Charleston, South Carolina, where President Obama will deliver the eulogy for Reverend Clemente Pinckney. And that was supposed to happen at 3 o'clock. It may happen anytime. So if we cut you off, Jason, or anybody else, that is the reason. But in the meantime, we'll carry on. So sorry to interrupt. Mulberry should be available.
Yes, I would think you could. I mean, they're available, but whether or not there's a recipe for jam, I would have to look for that.
Yeah, from what I've seen, people don't tend to grow mulberries commercially, partly because the trees are so big and they are so readily available in the wild. But I actually worked overseas for a while, and in Armenia, they made mulberry vodka.
Ooh!
And it was very highly prized by people.
Yeah, well, you had me at vodka. Jason, thanks a lot. Let's go to Nancy in Schenectady. Nancy, go ahead.
Hi. I have raspberry bushes, and the raspberries ripen right at this time of year, and I've had a handful of ripe raspberries, but I've noticed that instead of, you know, a lot of the plump little ones that are whitish, pink, and starting to ripen up, instead they're kind of like turning brown and drying. And I've had these bushes for a dozen years or so, and every year we've had just bumper crops of raspberries. I have no idea what's going on and if there's something I should be doing for them or what.
Nancy, are these wild raspberries or are they domestic raspberries that you planted?
I think they're domestic. My husband had a house in Albany, which he sold, and we dug up some of the raspberries that were growing there and brought them here. In Schenectady.
Okay, because one of my thoughts is that Usually after between 7 and 15 years of age, raspberries usually wind up with some real virus problems.
Oh.
So that may be one of the issues. The other issue may just be the fact that, you know, it's been pretty wet out this year, and raspberries do not like wet weather, and you might have a little bit of one of the fruit diseases, specifically called gray mold, starting in there, because it will start with the berries turning brown.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay. So there's, I suppose, nothing I can do about that, really, because it's done is done. But
yeah,
is it something I should look into some solution for other years?
I would pick off the ones that are turning brown, and
okay.
then if it dries out, you've removed the disease inoculum.
Okay. Nancy, we've got to take a short break here. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. Again, we will interrupt this program at some point for President Obama, who will deliver the eulogy for Reverend Clemente Pinckney. In the meantime, Vox Pop Food Friday rolls on. We'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from Manny's TV and Appliances, family-owned since 1977, now offering olive oil from his vineyards in Crete. Available at Atkins, River Valley Market, Randall's, Foster's, and Big Y grocery stores, mannysoliveoil.com. Rhinebeck Artist Shops, professional picture framing and fine art materials, Rhinebeck, New Paltz, and now at 793 Broadway in Kingston, rhinebeckart.com. Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tastings, Saturday afternoons, spirithaus.com. Mohonk Preserve, New Paltz, presenting Robert Loeb's Field Studies, an outdoor exhibition of six large-scale sculptures at the Preserve's Visitor Center on Route 4455 in Gardner through October 18th, mohonkpreserve.org. Stagecoach Tavern at Racebrook Lodge, Route 41, Sheffield, Massachusetts. Featuring outdoor dining, a contemporary tavern menu, and local beer and spirits, stagecoachtavern.net. And NBT Bank, offering trust and fiduciary services, investment management, and retirement planning for individuals and businesses. NBTBank.com.
It's Vox Pop. It's Food Friday on WAMC. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. We're joined today by Dale Isla Riggs of the Berry Patch in Steventown, New York, and Diane Witten, a food and nutrition educator, writer for the Saratogian newspaper. And we talk berries today. Oh, exciting it is. Exciting it is. Now, we tried Valley Sunset. Thumbs up all around, Dale Isla. This one, the uniquely named NY02-56. Are we ready to try that?
We're ready.
All right, let's do it. This is the experimental variety.
I think it's tart.
Yeah, that's the word I was
Not as
for.
Sweet, but delicious. Sweet. Meaty. Really, I think you should run with this one. But what are you going to name it? How about Food Friday? How about Vox Pop or something?
Yeah, it'd be interesting sometime to talk to plant breeders and decide how they come up with their names.
Yeah, I mean, is it a payola situation?
I doubt it.
It's not one of those things like a star registry where you can name it whatever you want and put it in a book somewhere.
Yeah, they do get to name it whatever they want. And like Harriet, Courtney named because he really likes the author, James Harriet.
Uh-huh. Oh, very good. But I mean, what's stopping you growing one from calling it something else? In other words, is there an authority that says you must call L'Amour L'Amour?
Not that I'm aware of, but when I'm buying them from the nursery, I mean, they have gotten the stock material from the breeder, and the breeder has said, okay, this is the variety called L'Amour.
Okay.
And they're not grown by seed. They're grown by just reproducing the plants. So.
All right, so you're going to go along with it.
Yeah.
You're not going to cause trouble.
Yeah. No,
right, fair enough. All right, Diane Witten, we're trying something new here. And again, if the president begins the eulogy, we will cut you off. But this is a fairly exciting moment on Vox Pop Food Friday.
This is a first.
This is a first on radio.
What are we doing?
We're going to be making a jam.
Yeah.
And specifically a freezer jam.
Oh, cool.
And I'm doing this because, obviously, it's the only thing I could do, only kind of jam I could make on the radio.
I got to tell you, we don't have a freezer in here.
No, that's okay.
Okay.
It'll keep at room temperature or in the refrigerator, or you don't have a refrigerator.
Well, you could turn the air conditioning way down, Jess. That might work. Yeah. All right, so what do we do?
Because I think most people, when they think of jam, they think of, you know, cooking it up and then, you know, having to put it in the jars and canning it and getting your, you know, takes lots of time and lots of energy. But the freezer jam, literally all you do is mash, and I can start it right now.
Okay, I'm going to listen closely, boys and girls. Here we go. Adventures in radio.
I'm putting one layer. Well, I have 2 cups of strawberries, and oh, these are so juicy. The juice is just coming right out of them. This is great. So I've got 2 cups of strawberries that I'm just mashing up with a potato masher. If you had a fork, you could do that.
All right.
You don't need
any
special.
Most people have forks. That'll work.
You don't need any special equipment.
Okay.
And then the only other ingredients you need is sugar and pectin.
Okay. Now, pectin is fairly widely available at a grocery store, right?
Grocery stores, you know, Target, Agway.
Okay.
But you have to get the specific type of pectin. This is called, this is the ball instant pectin.
Okay.
There's different kinds of pectin that you need, whether you're making a regular jam, a regular cooked jam, or if you're making a low-sugar, no-sugar jam, that's a different kind of pectin.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is instant pectin, which is specifically for a freezer jam.
Okay.
So just make sure you get the right kind of pectin.
All right.
And look at that color.
These are so juicy.
Ha-ha. What variety did you pick for this?
The color.
Did you mix it up?
Yes. Actually, we had Diane use Annapolis, which is an early season variety, so it's pretty much winding down right now, and the berries were smaller, and they tend to be sweeter.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And now, I'm just stirring the pectin with the berries, and you're supposed to stir it for 3 minutes. Anybody have a
time? We have plenty of clocks up here. Okay, I'll tell you when.
And, so that's all you do.
All right.
And stir the pectin, and then I'm going to just pour it into a container. And again, you don't need special canning equipment. Any kind of plastic containers that you have at home, you can use.
And then it goes in the freezer?
And then, after about 30 minutes, it'll actually set up, meaning the gel will form.
Right.
So that it becomes a little thicker, like a jam. And the only reason for the freezing is because it will get moldy after a while.
Yeah.
Because we're not doing the heat processing.
Yeah.
So because we're not doing that, it could spoil.
Now, you do lessons for people all over the place on this, right?
Well, I do it at my house. My house. I do it at my office, which seems like my home away from home.
Yeah.
And so Monday, July 13th, I'm having a class on making jams and jellies.
Okay.
And so people can
cooked
come.
Cooked ones, right?
Well, we'll be doing the freezer jam, plus we're going to be doing the regular traditional jam. So if people want to learn how to do that, they can come. It's going to be in the evening from 5:30 to 8:30, and it's only $20. You can find out more at our website or by calling our office.
What's
I work for Cornell
website?
Cooperative Extension, Saratoga County.
Sure.
So our website is ccesaratoga.org.
And I think we have that link up on the Food Friday page, so we can certainly help you out there.
The other thing I wanted to mention, if I can, is that we also have some master food preservers who teach a 3-day master food preserver course, which would include making jams and jellies, but it would also cover pressure canning that you need to do if you want to can vegetables. Includes freezing, proper procedures for freezing. It includes drying, like making a fruit leather, which is another thing you can do with berries, is make a fruit leather, which is
didn't
like
you bring
a fruit
that last time?
Yes, I have some today for you, too.
Oh, wow, isn't that nice? Very nice. So you're not a master canner, then?
I am actually a certified master food preserver. I've gone through that 3-day training, plus I've taught a lot on my own.
Do you get a special hat or anything?
No special.
So there's no way of distinguishing
I just pat myself on the back.
All right, fair enough. All right, let's take it. Well, you have a minute to go while you're stirring, and let's take another call. Let's go over to Peter in West Stockbridge. Peter.
Hello. I have a comment and a question.
Well, all right.
The comment is a little off topic because it's about my sour cherry tree, which has small yellow to red fruit. And what I do with it is I actually sit in front of a bowl that I picked and squeeze the pits into a separate from the fruit. And then I take the pits and wrap them up in cheesecloth and smash the pits. And they then smell very strong, like almonds. And then I put that back into the fruit and then put the bowl in the fridge overnight. And it gives the cherries an amazing almond flavor.
I see Dale Isla nodding. Have you heard of this?
Yeah, cherries and almonds and peaches are all in the same botanical plant family. So that's you get that almond taste from all of those.
Isn't there arsenic in the peach pits?
Very small quantities.
Okay, so you'll be all right?
It's a delicious smell.
Okay, and you had a question too, Peter?
The question is about gooseberries that I've had for 4 or 5 years, and this year the fruit is just really small. I'm wondering if there's something I could feed my gooseberries that would improve them.
At this point, it's probably a little bit too late for this crop of gooseberries, but most likely it's because last winter was so cold. There's been a lot of reports of winter damage on blueberries, some gooseberries, some currants, cherries, peaches, etc. So my suspicion is that you've got a little bit of winter damage in there. The plant's working a little harder to produce that fruit crop. And I would just make sure that the plant has a good dose of nitrogen and phosphorus, maybe give it a little bit more growth this year for next year. But don't apply it too late. You don't want to go in really after July 1st with fertilizer.
Okay.
So I would get
it
on there soon.
Do it before July 1st.
Yes.
This year.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, thanks, Peter. We appreciate the call. The number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. Tara in Schenectady, you'll be next. Hang in there. 1-800-348-2551. So while we were talking to Peter and Dale Isla was giving the wisdom, Diane was stirring. And where are we now in the freezer jam construction?
Well, the freezer jam is ready to go into the container, whatever container you have. So I use a funnel. I'm pouring it into
pretty liquidy.
A 1 cup. It is liquidy because, remember, it hasn't gelled up yet. That takes about a half an hour for it to gel.
And the pectin is what does that?
And the pectin, the interaction between the pectin and the acid in the fruit and the sugar is what creates a gel.
And there's plenty of sugar in these strawberries.
There is plenty
sweet.
Of sugar. And that's why I was thinking the new NY0256 might be good for making a jam because it is a tart. Kind of a tart berry.
That's true.
That's not a bad idea.
Good for making a jam. And then remember, you can keep this freezer jam in your refrigerator if you use it within a week, or a week or two. You know, it'll be fine. If you're not going to eat it, if you make a bunch of it and you want to save it for a year, you put it in your freezer.
Right.
Because it's not preserved. The freezer is what preserves it.
Yeah. I wish we could try some of this.
So actually, what I'm going to have you try is, this is strawberry freezer jam that we made last year.
Oh,
so this
my
is
gosh.
A year.
This is vintage.
This is vintage, yes.
All right.
And usually with home preserved foods, we tell you to consume it within a year. So I just want you to tell me whether or not that still tastes good after a year.
It's delicious.
Do you still taste the strawberries?
Oh, yeah.
That's the nice thing about the freezer jam is that it's not cooked, so you get the raw strawberry flavor.
You really get that
flavor.
Yeah. Jess, give it a try. As soon as food is consumed, there's my producer. Amazingly. It's amazing.
So, I was talking to somebody earlier today, Jim, if you're there on the line, and he was asking if this would be something that somebody who likes... There's people who really believe in raw food.
Yeah, sure.
Raw food diet. So this would be a raw food. It's not cooked at all.
It's darn good.
And then you can keep it for a year.
You know, this might be nice on ice cream, just thinking,
because it is a little thinner than maybe some other jams or
good.
Jelly.
Yeah. All right,
more
like
a sauce.
Thumbs up there. Let's go back to the phones at 1-800-348-2551. Very patient, Tara in Schenectady. You're rewarded by being on right now.
Thank you. I'm really, really a novice gardener. This is my first year, and I did 3 pots of strawberry plants, and one of them flowered and produced 2 very delicious strawberries, only 2 though so far, and the other ones haven't done anything at all. I mean, they're big, but they didn't flower. Any ideas why?
And you planted them this year, you said?
Yeah, I got I went to Home Depot and I got 3 strawberry plants, and I put them in pots, containers.
Okay, and did they put out any flowers at all?
One did, the other two didn't. The one did did some flowers and two berries, and then the other ones aren't doing anything.
Okay.
Any flowers.
That is definitely a puzzle. Do you know what variety they are?
I don't remember.
Okay. Because there are types of strawberries that, like the type that we're harvesting now, are called June-bearing strawberries, and they only produce fruit once during the year.
And I think they said everberries or something.
Okay, so there are everbearing strawberries, and they kind of cycle throughout the year. And they will produce fruit later this summer, so just keep having patience. And if they were labeled directly as everbearing strawberries, they will eventually produce fruit, produce flowers, so then you should get some fruit out of them.
Oh, good.
Okay, and one other question. They're putting out runners, and does that mean that should I put them in the ground then if they're putting out runners?
Yeah, all strawberries produce runners. That's how they reproduce. And that's what you actually bought was a runner plant from last year. So if you're growing them in pots, you could cut off all the runners and you'll probably get bigger fruit out of that one, what we call mother plant.
Okay.
But if you want to maintain that patch in future years, it would be good to stick them in the ground and they'll reproduce through those runners.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Tara. We appreciate the call. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. Mark in Pleasant Valley is next. All right, Dale Isla, you pick one. What's the next one we'll try?
I would say we should go right to Lemoore. Down here on this
right
end.
Here. All right, let's hand one to Diane. It's a shame my producer's not here for this.
She'll be in soon.
All right, fair enough. All right, would you like one, Dale Isla?
Absolutely.
Okay, this is Lemoore. Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways I can tell it's Lemoore is the shape is a little bit different, and you'll notice how the cap is kind of taller.
Yeah.
It's not stuck down on the fruit so much.
Yeah.
So it's really nice if you're going to be preserving them and you want to be decapping them either for jam or freezing or something like that. They're just a little bit easier to deal with.
There's some tartness to this one as well.
Speaking of preserving, other ways of preserving strawberries is just to freeze them whole or sliced and freeze them.
And they'll be okay?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Quick and easy.
Now, you can't do that with all fruit.
You can freeze,
apples, for instance?
Fruit? Well, usually people would make an applesauce and freeze an applesauce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was tasty. Lemoore, I still think NY0256 has a real potential.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will get that word back to the plant breeder.
All right. Fair enough. The number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. Let's go over to Mark in Pleasant Valley. Mark, you're next.
Hi there. About 6 or 7 years ago, I planted two sour cherry trees. One of them is a Morello, and one of them is a Montmorency. And one of them, I'm not sure which one it is, has always produced very well, and the other one has not produced. Very few. What can I do to promote some fruit in the second one?
Well, I'm not a cherry expert. It's been a while since I've worked with cherries, but my hunch is that it's the Montmorency that is producing well. That tends to be a hardier variety, so it's making it through our winters better. And the Morello is a less hardy variety of cherry. So is it producing flowers, or does it just not even produce the flowers?
It has flowers for a few days.
But those flowers aren't ending up in fruit then?
No, they don't seem to be.
Okay. Again, there may be a disease issue going on there. It may be the luck of the draw that when those flowers are open, the bee flight isn't very good. So if it's blooming on a rainy day, bees don't fly on rainy days.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're getting flowers and not fruit, my suspicion is that either the bees aren't there or the Montmorency, is that blooming at the same time or a different time?
About the same time.
Okay. So you should be getting some cross-pollination going on because some of the varieties do need a pollinator of a different variety, but maybe you may have taken care of that. The other thing is there can be compatibility issues between the pollen of one variety and the variety of the next.
Mm.
So it may not be that the Montmorency pollen is viable on the Morello. So you may want to look at getting a third variety and plant it in there. Do a little bit of research, talk to Cooperative Extension, and they should be able to help you out with varieties and what ones would be a good pollinator for the morello.
That's a good idea, although there isn't a lot of space where I am.
For another one?
Well, the other thing is you could graft a different variety on your Montmorency or on your morello. So you could do that in the spring. Grafting is pretty easy to do, and it's kind of a fun project.
So I would cut like a branch off of the one that produces and graft it onto the trunk or a big branch.
How do you do that?
You wouldn't do it with big branches. You get what's called budwood, and you could do it in June with just literally the buds of a different variety. But I would do it in the spring with what we call a whip graft, which is a small twig, and do it in a couple different locations on one of your major limbs, one of your scaffold limbs. But first you want to make sure it's a variety that's going to be a good pollinator for it.
So a little research is in order. Mark, thanks a lot. We've got to take a break here.
Thanks a lot. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Number to call is 1-800-348-2551. We're joined by Dale Isla Riggs and Diane Witten. And, oh, my gosh, I see an upside-down cake. We'll have to talk about that in a moment.
Support for WAMC comes from Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Over 300 flavors of handcrafted dairy and dairy-free ice creams, cakes, hot fudge, and more. Harolds.com. Maybe Farm Historic Site, Rotterdam Junction, presenting the Civil War Living History Day tomorrow, featuring living history demos, children's muster, Lincoln exhibit, music with the 77th Balladeers, and more. SchenectadyHistorical.org. The Henyon Bakery, Amherst, since 1993, offering hearth-baked whole grain breads, pastries, birthday, wedding, and special occasion cakes, as well as gluten-free offerings, henyonbakery.com. Curran Compliance Services, Greenwich, New York, and now in St. Paul, Minnesota. National compliance and regulatory consultants for the life insurance industry, currancompliance.com. Vision Excel Eye Care, Lake Katrine, New York, providing eye exams, eye care, dry eye therapy, and more, where eyewear is an art, Facebook, or visionexceleyecare.com. And Apex Solar Power, Queensbury, New York, locally owned, installing solar panels, solar hot water, solar pool heating. ApexSolarPower.com for information.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC. It's a Food Friday, and what fun we are having with Dale Isla Riggs of the Berry Patch in Steventown, New York, and Diane Witten, who writes for the Saratogian and is a food and nutrition educator and a master canner, right? Is that what it is?
Master food preserver.
Master food preserver. Also a pretty good baker, I might add.
And you too can be a master food preserver. Let me just mention that at SUNY Cobleskill from July 21 to 23, a three-day master food preserver course you could take.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I got to say it. You made an upside-down cake, and it's amazing. What is it?
This is the blueberry upside-down cake, and the recipe is on the website. It's a very unusual recipe, the way it's made. It's kind of an old-fashioned recipe. I put the blueberries, mixed it with cinnamon and some lemon juice.
Yeah.
And then you make a batter, and you put that on top of the batter. Then you take some boiling water. First you put a little bit of sugar and cornstarch on it.
Okay.
On the top. You sprinkle that on top. And then you take boiling water with a little honey in it and pour it over the whole thing. So, and then as it bakes, it congeals, and it has a little crunchy topping, doesn't it?
I got to say, I could eat the whole thing and go into a coma right now. It's really, really good. By the way, Dale Isla, you said you had an event that you wanted to talk about, very, very berry related.
Yes, very briefly, the Steventown Historical Society does a strawberry festival every year at the Berry Patch. It's their main fundraiser for the year. And it's this Sunday at the Berry Patch from 11 to 4. This morning they were at our place, and they were hulling and cutting up 200 pounds of strawberries.
Cool.
They picked 200 pounds of strawberries last night. And
did you give them any of the NY0256s?
No, we actually had them in the Annapolis, which is what Diane made the jam out of.
Perfect.
So they're nice and sweet. But it is their main fundraiser. They serve strawberry shortcake, strawberry rhubarb pie, strawberry sundaes.
Nice. Okay. So, and that, what day, Saturday, you said?
It's Sunday from 11 to 4 at the Berry Patch on Route 22 in Steventown.
Well, that's exciting. All right, thank you. Let's go back to the phones at 1-800-348-2551. Rich in Whitesboro. Rich, you're on.
Oh, thank you. I am trying to keep my jam calorie count below 50 if I can.
Okay.
And there was a sort of an undebatable healthy sweetener called stevia, and it said you can use it for baking. And I was wondering if you would approve it for making jam.
Yes, I think you could definitely do that. What I would recommend is use the pectin. That's for a low or no sugar jam. Because, like I said, when you're making a jam to get the thickening, it's the interaction between the sugar and the pectin and some acid that's in the fruit that forms the gel. So to make a no-sugar jam, you need a special pectin. And it will say on the box of pectin or on the jar of pectin, it'll say for low or no-sugar jam.
Have you tried it with stevia?
I have not tried it with stevia, no. But I've made jam with honey. I made a blueberry jam with honey last year using that kind of pectin. It came out really good.
Well, there's plenty of sugar in honey, though.
Oh, yeah. If you're trying to cut your carbs, yeah, honey's not going to help. But, I use the same kind of pectin, the no-sugar pectin.
All right, Rich.
You can add sugar.
Rich, thank you very much for the call. Let's go over to Greg in Shutesbury, Mass. Greg, you're on.
Hey, good afternoon. Thank you very much.
Sure thing.
I have a question. My wife's family has had 3 generations of Old World raspberries that came from the Black Forest in Germany.
Cool.
And we enjoy them. Everybody else says there's nothing else like it. How can we determine the actual species or genotype? We've tried our local extension folks, and everybody's kind of like, this is more of a CSI project.
Need DNA testing and whatnot?
I guess. I mean, I know they can find out all kinds of great things about people and animals and everything else. I imagine that identification goes the same way for this stuff.
What do you think, Dalila?
Yeah, that's really cool that you've got such an old variety. And what comes to my mind is that in Corvallis, Oregon, where I went to graduate school, actually, there is the USDA Plant Germplasm Repository, and they have all the germplasm for berries and apples and pears, those two plant
families.
Going
how far back?
Wow. Do they also do figs?
I don't believe that facility does figs. That's probably one in California.
That might have been a twofer. Okay.
Yeah. But I would try getting on the web and contacting somebody there and see if maybe there's somebody there that could help you out.
And that's which Cornell location?
No, it's the USDA Plant Germplasm Repository, and it's at Oregon State University in Corvallis, Oregon.
Okay.
Excellent. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Sure thing.
Greg, thank you very much. Over to Frank in Lake George. How's the weather at Lake George, Frank?
Beautiful today.
Nice.
Beautiful.
Well, you're on.
Oh, thank you. Hey, I thought I was the king of fig trees till I moved up here from Brooklyn a few years ago.
Yeah.
I took a cutting with me. The tree is a potted tree, and it's about maybe 5 or 6 feet tall, and I haven't gotten any fruit from it at all.
Oh, boy.
And I have no clue.
I think you stumped Dalilah.
Yeah, I'm not used to dealing with fig trees too
much.
Okay,
that's what Vox Pop is. You'll get all sorts of questions.
The only thing I can think of is I think it might be just a little bit, too cold. I bring it in the winter.
It's like a microclimate issue?
Yeah.
Brooklyn might be a little warmer?
Well, I have heard of people growing some fig trees in Brooklyn. Up here, it's definitely... There's no fig trees that I know of that are going to make it in upstate New York and be productive. But since you're bringing it in during the winter, it may be an issue of not a long enough growing season for it. Okay?
I think so.
And
they do, from what I can see online, have beautiful fig trees in Canada.
Do they produce figs, though?
I think we're going to have to break there. I'm sorry, Frank, but I think that President Obama is about to deliver the eulogy for Reverend Clemente Pinckney, and we are just waiting that for now. But might as well thank our guests, and we may or may not be back. Dalilah Riggs of the Berry Patch in Steventown, and Diane Witten the food and nutrition educator and columnist for Saratogan. We're going to take it over to live coverage in Charleston.